Are they going to bust in here and arrest us?
It's crunch time on 95.3 The Score.
Hey, how you doing? Thursday has arrived. Obviously, college football starts Saturday. And next Thursday, there's like a bunch of games. Pac-12 teams in action. I'm actually going to go over Pac-12 South. We covered most of the North yesterday, I think, the quarterback situation. Do the South today. And some of the teams in the schedule that they have opening. I don't think anybody has a more difficult schedule than UCLA. I mean, they don't have what you would call an easy one. There's no directional school. They've got an American Athletic Conference game. They've got a Mountain West game. They have Oklahoma coming to Le Rose Bowl. So we'll talk about that. I guess one of the big stories making the rounds has to do with former Duck, longtime NFL safety, everybody Pat Chung tonight, taking a new meaning. So it's an incident that occurred the last week of June. An indictment was handed down August 8th, Belknap County, New Hampshire. Cocaine charge. And, you know, it's not your day when the cops say, well, we got a call for service. I guess an alarm of some kind went off. And, you know, obviously when an alarm goes off, that's kind of a green light for the cops to go in. And they found a little bit of, as Dennis Leary would call it, cocaine. And you get the traditional non-comment from the Patriots because it's an ongoing investigation. He's got a clean record. So, you know, a lot of times you see what the potential penalty could be. I mean, he didn't have an amount where he was going to get that "the world is yours" Tony Montana on us. But he could get suspended. Remember one thing. Regardless of whether it's weed or coke or whoever might consider it recreational or whatnot, he's in a union. There's no wiggle room. The NFL and the union collectively bargained, and that's a substance of abuse. Abuse. And I wouldn't be surprised if he got a 4-game suspension. He's working his way back from injury. I kind of forgot he broke his arm in the Super Bowl. And apparently he had a shoulder procedure during the offseason. So, and here's something that happened that I bet those who are on Twitter are going to be stunned to hear. The anti-Duck trolls came out because this has a lot to do with what he did at Oregon, which he left, what, 11 years ago? He's 32 years old. But I'm not going to say that if a beaver or a husky got caught doing something stupid that the Oregon fans wouldn't be fully in troll patrol. Troll patrol? You know you need to clean out your notes every once in a while. I'm looking over this story, and I'm like, how did that get in there? Pau Gasol and Blazers reach 1-year deal, and it was stuck to the back of a bunch of notes. It's like, that was July 24th. I'm gonna do a Nick here. I don't need this anymore. Oh, he swats it back at me. No. Take your notes and shove them. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. So I was up this morning, and normally I'm not I may be awake, but I'm not technically up. So I'm like out of bed. I usually check, all right, is my phone charged? Because the first thing I like to do is have a little bit of coffee. And we've got a couple of our friends out of town. So I had three dogs that I wanted to take on a nice long walk. And so I had no idea. For all I knew, we were at war with Russia overnight. I usually just give a little check to make sure nothing horrifying happened. So, you guys ready? As a matter of fact, I wanted to get going so much, I just threw on flip-flop sweats and a t-shirt and just doggies. Click, 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 three leashes on, out the door. I'm up 6 minutes, and I'm already halfway up the block. And
you forgot the dogs.
I'm walking empty leashes in my Bethel neighborhood. People are looking at me oddly.
That'll be the sign. If you live around Steve's house and you've seen him walking dogs, whenever he's walking at some point and the leashes are behind him and there's no dogs and he's dragging them along, that's when we know it's gone
happened.
Too far.
We've been threatening for many, many years that when I'm just going to finally lose it, there it is. That's the ultimate indicator. And so
That was the day we lost Steve Tenen, where he went
he
to walk the dogs.
Three dogs.
Without the dogs.
Without a canine to be seen. So I've got one little terrier, Momo, who was a little bit of a puller. Then I've got Annie, who's I call her our golden girl. She's a retriever. And then I've got a spaniel. Springer spaniels are nuts. They're just so high energy. And I've got to get her, like, the first the first 16th of a mile. Josie, easy. Josie, easy. Josie, easy. So then I get them on my right hand. I've got my phone in my left hand. I open up my sports app. First story, Patrick Chung. And you get the, you know, picked by the Pats, round two. Spent 2013 with Philly. Returned to New England. Just won his third ring. Busted for coke possession. And by the way, it was the top story on ESPN for most of the day, and it plays right in to what we always say. It could be the bottom of the ninth between the Yankees and Dodgers, tied at two, game seven, and Tom Brady will have decided that he's going to use a different knee pad, and they would break in because the NFL just steamrolls everything. And by the way, I just brought it back up. Still the number one story on the ESPN site.
It's not going away.
And then I get a news notification, which I get some serious news, and I get some news which comes from a site which I think they know might be real news, but you'll find entertaining. And I'm like, oh, what's the common theme? A story from Washington State, three workers at three different Safeways came across boxes of bananas with cocaine inside. Yeah.
What a not great fruit to try and disguise cocaine in. Like,
it comes from South America.
Well, yeah, I know, but it's just like the bananas, they're on
it's very contrasting.
Yeah, what I mean, the bananas are on, I guess, not a vine, but they're all connected in their bushel, or is it
right.
A bunch of bananas?
They're in boxes.
Yeah.
And the boxes are all kind of like taped together.
Yeah.
To stay on a pallet.
Sure, so, but I don't imagine it being very easy to be like, all right, so we'll have a bed of bananas at the bottom, and then we'll tuck our cocaine in here, and then we'll just cover it up with more bananas. Like, I feel like there are other fruits or vegetables that could get involved where you could flatten things out a little bit more, be a little more inconspicuous.
And they were bricks.
Yeah, oh boy.
And like I said,
goes to show how much I know about transporting cocaine within countries with bananas and fruits and vegetables.
I thought you were my go-to guy when it came to that.
More
I guess
planes.
I'm gonna need another source. And you know, it's not a matter of some dude dropped a baggie that he was planning on sharing at the club that night. We got like 50 keys, street value like a mill, but which brought about the question, so would there have been a discount on the coke if you presented a Safeway club card? You know, you see the price.
The little yellow price tag. Cocaine, normally $19.95.
Right,
with your Safeway club card, $15.99.
It's like I shop at Freddy's a lot, and you see the price of wine, and it's like, you know, $8.99. But if you buy six, it's $7.99. So
price of one cocaine.
Right, if you're going to buy X amount of Coke, it's X amount of dollars. But if you're going to buy an 8-ball, we'll give you a great discount. And you could use one of our convenient carry-out bags.
Is that something that's self-checkout, or like when you scan it, somebody's going to have to come over?
There's
going to
be a lot
ID.
Of bells and whistles going on there. And my next thought is, what the hell year is it? Mike Freeman of, Pro Football Talk, I guess, was like, Coke is still a thing? Obviously, the answer is yes. But I'm a little bit groggy, and I'm like, am I still sleeping? Is it the 80s? Does LT still play for the Giants? Is Gooden the ace for the Mets? Am I supposed to party at Danceteria this weekend? Are there red Pontiac Fieros driving around town with women with big hair? It's just, this is all the first 10 minutes of me being awake this morning.
I would have extra freaked out because we had spent a lot of time yesterday talking about time travel and going back in time to like the 80s, and all of a sudden you're reading about athletes and random cocaine drug busts, and it's just like, it's Narcos come to real life, and this is insanity. I probably would have just thought that I had time travel.
Oh, I was like, what the hell is going on here? It's a time warp. I'm like, you know, going back in time, I guess, has its value, but I was kind of happy in 2019, and these stories just sent me into a little bit of a morning tizzy. And by the way, the best part about it is the coke came from a central warehouse. They have not determined where it originated from. That's not going to be that hard to track. I mean, you know, if you've ever worked in shipping and receiving, which I have, albeit many years ago, it was pretty easy. You know, you got the bill of lading, somebody signed for it. You get, you know, back in the day, it was the old like 5-part business form where you had to and the vendor gets a copy and the delivery guy gets a copy and the receiver gets a copy and accounting gets a copy. Now I'm sure there's just a beep. Oh, it came from there at this time. Fred delivered it. Fred is going up the river for delivering 50 keys to Washington. All right. Cocaine in banana boxes. What will happen next?
There's got to be a better fruit than bananas to do that with. Like, I'm just thinking with the bunches of bananas that are in their, you know, their half crescent.
It would be too visible.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, there's got to be a fruit that, like, or a vegetable of some kind that, like, will spread out and cover the stuff that you're looking for. Like, maybe lettuce, but then I'm thinking they spray lettuce all the time so that it stays fresh, and then you could get E. coli in your cocaine, and that's a whole different other problem.
People, yeah, the hell with the lettuce.
Yeah, right, that wouldn't go very well, so lettuce is out, but I don't know, like, carrots or something, at least something that's like flat and long, and maybe there's some plastic around it so that when they see more plastic, they're like, oh, it's just more carrots down there. There's probably not cocaine.
Terrible, terrible drug to use. Terrible, terrible fruit to use to mask your drugs. I think we're all agreed there. At least you could hollow out a coconut.
Yeah, or raspberries and strawberries come in like plastic containers, and just you stack up a bunch of plastic containers, you create your hollow middle. I'm probably talking way too much about this, and it's probably sending off some red flags to someone somewhere. Now people are going to start checking raspberry and strawberry containers for cocaine, and then I'm going to get in trouble. But I wouldn't use bananas.
Somebody just texted. Bananas are packed with brown paper. So we're in our effort to find the logic here, we're actually getting assistance, which is kind of has me a little concerned. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon fuel injection hotline. If you want to chime on in, you could also hit us up via the text line, 3210824. Hit us up on Twitter at 953thescore, or for yours truly at sportstalk953. You could try Nick at Rick Nodgers. I want to get to Jim Harbaugh, who's just annoying. And I guess because it came down yesterday, I heard a lot of people like, guys on the DA show and Rome and Lebatard, the consensus seemed to be a willingness to make fun of all the new XFL teams. The names and logos were revealed yesterday afternoon, not that long before we signed on, between the Dallas Renegades, the Houston Roughnecks, the LA Wildcats, the New York Guardians. The St. Louis Battlehawks is the only one that really makes sense, because Because the original Atlanta Hawks were the St. Louis Hawks, so I would imagine that
is... You really think Vince McMahon and his team of people at the XFL had that kind of foresight? You're connecting a dot that didn't exist in another, thankful that there's a dot to connect.
Well, I was having a conversation yesterday with a friend of mine who said, you know, and obviously we started with the NFL, and how many teams... what we call them, their nicknames, their mascots, whatever, you know what I mean, have a connection to the area. I mean, the New England Patriots make sense. You know, the Minutemen, the Paul Revere's Ride, they were the original Patriots. And, you know, these New England Patriots are annoying. Those were significant. The Buffalo Bills, Buffalo Bill, Wild Bill Hickok. And, you know, okay, I can see that. I told you yesterday the Jets came from LaGuardia Airport, which is just across the highway in Queens. The Miami Dolphins, you could understand that. You know, Dolphins, South Florida, ocean, all that. Pittsburgh Steelers makes perfect sense. You know, the Steel City. The Baltimore Ravens, they were actually named... I think it was a contest, but the Edgar Allan Poe from Baltimore, I guess his most famous work was The Raven, and that's how they ended up getting named. Cleveland Browns were named after a guy, Paul Brown. The Bengals, I don't get. The Titans, I had Houston Texans, okay. I could see the state. The Indianapolis Colts are named after the Baltimore Colts. Why they're the Colts, I would assume it has something to do with horse racing. That's where Pimlico is held, just outside, you know, Baltimore. Jacksonville Jaguars. Are there Jaguars? And this is going to sound, if I'm wrong or don't know, or everybody knows, this sounds really stupid, but consider the source. Jaguars native to North America, or did they just go for a cool mascot?
The Jaguars at that point, coming around in what, 96. It could have just been like, hey, we've got an NFL franchise, submit your team name, and they just went,
that's what I think.
Jacksonville Jaguar, Jacks, Jag, JJ, it works, let's go for it. Like, that's how the Sharks became the Sharks in San Jose. Somebody just submitted the Sharks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was down to it was like the San Jose Blades. The San Jose Fire? That wouldn't have made sense. It was down to like the Blades and the Sharks, and the owner was just like, Sharks sound cooler. Let's go with that. And that then just that's what it is. Like, I was looking up the Falcons as well. There was a teacher from a suburb around Atlanta that was just like, the Falcon's a really cool bird, and there's like cool significance behind it, and you can just make up whatever you want about it being a dignified and dominant and master of prey in the sky.
It's a very cool name.
It's a cool bird, yeah, and they're just like, all right, that's cool enough. It'll work.
The Raiders came from Al Davis. I mean, you know, he thought that it would fit the image. Tough guys, kind of the type that would loot and pillage. And for up until 2002, he was right. And now they're a laughing stock. I don't know where the Chiefs came from. The Broncos, I guess, a lot of horses around. Colorado, you know, they for years they had the big horse out there. You can technically say that there became a point where Elway started to look like that horse. The original Chargers, we found that out a couple weeks ago, didn't we? Where Chargers came from had to do with the company.
The Charge.
Charge. They thought that was cool.
So the Baltimore Colts, which existed before the Indianapolis Colts, were named after the Preakness Stakes, with it being a horse event,
right, so
and
I
a part
right.
of the Triple Crown. So yeah, it had to do with Baltimore rather than Indy.
Well, I said they were in Baltimore, and I assume there was a connection to Pimlico. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. The Eagles make sense. You know, Philadelphia, the birthplace of independence,
the
American
band.
Eagle. Washington, I don't get. Dallas Cowboys make sense. Texas Cowboys. The Giants had to do with just the magnitude of New
Copying
York
Copying the baseball team.
Ooh, and the baseball team was there first. It's so strange. I never thought of that. What the hell, Brian? Good one. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in James. James, good afternoon. How's it going?
What's going on, Steve?
Well,
hey,
you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. Almost Friday, man. Hey, so I think the Roughnecks, were you guys talking about that?
The Roughnecks?
For the XFL team? Isn't that who the XFL team was, the Roughnecks?
Oh, I don't know. Now there's the Houston Roughnecks.
Yeah. Right. So isn't a Roughneck someone that works on an oil field?
Oh, yeah, that would make perfect sense. I did not know that.
So they're throwing back to the Houston Oilers a little bit there, but with a different name.
Ooh, good one. Good info.
Yeah.
I like it.
All right.
Well played.
Thanks, man.
All right. We know Green Bay, Meat Packers. The Vikings, I would assume it has to do with the large influx of Nordic residents to Minnesota, Minneapolis. The Bears, Lions, I got nothing. Why is Tampa Bay the Buccaneers? I don't know. New Orleans Saints, I would assume, is related to jazz. And oh, when the Saints go marching in, kind of a legendary jazz tune. The 49ers, I think, kind of speaks for itself. The Seahawks, obviously, makes sense. Now, the Rams, who are now back in L.A., I don't know where that came from. Although the Embraceable U's is the best dance team out there, just because that's a cool name. The Arizona Cardinals were originally the Chicago Cardinals, and at one time there were both the St. Louis Cardinals, like there were once the New York Giants. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Somebody said the Bears started out as the Decatur Staleys, which that just sounds pretty cool.
The Minnesota Vikings team name history is kind of interesting. So Ole Hausgrud was the owner of the Duluth Eskimos, and he sold the team in the 20s but struck a deal that said he would get 10% of any future Minnesotan football franchise team. And then coincidentally, when the Vikings were born and back into the NFL...
what was that, 1960?
60. They got the franchise. They're supposed to start playing 61. But then coincidentally, quote, Ole Hasgrove's high school in Superior, Wisconsin, they were called the Vikings, and they had a similar purple and yellow, purple and gold color scheme. So it could have been a nod to the Duluth Eskimos that were the original football team's owner who went to a high school that was called the Vikings, which is really talking yourself into a circle.
Wow. All right, so actually most of the NFL teams have a connection to where they with the origin of the franchise. Let's leave it there. All right, before we take our first break of this Thursday edition of the program, by the way, we'll at the bottom of the next hour here, intern Sam did an interview with a new Colorado head coach, Mel Tucker. We'll let that roll in about an hour and change. But before we break, KUJZ 95.3 The Score, we've got a great way for you to save big dollars, big money. Don't pay full price, pay half. Go to our website, 95.3thescore.com, click the Sweet Deals link, and this is Restaurant Week, and from Teriyaki Madness to Tracktown Pizza to Wildcraft Cider, simple as this. Go to the link. $25 gets you a $50 gift certificate. Details available. Check out Sweet Deals today from KUJZ 95.3 The Score. All right, let's get to one more phone call before our actual first break and bring in the other Steve.
Hello there.
Hi.
I thought I would throw a little bit of light on one area that I know is a sore spot for a lot of us, including you, and that is the name of the Washington franchise, who were originally the Boston Redskins. It was a patriotic reference to those who dressed as Native Americans and proceeded to throw all the tea off into the bay from the Boston Tea Party.
Wow, so that's as much of a direct connection as any of them.
Exactly. And the only problem is when they move the team to Washington, it's like naming the Lakers the Lakers.
Right.
I mean, what, Silver Lake or Echo Park Lake or MacArthur Park? That's about the extent of the lakes there in Los Angeles.
Yeah, it's not quite the land of 10,000.
Not exactly. So some of these names, where they originated, made sense. As far as the Buccaneers, Tampa Bay was a huge refuge for pirate activity.
Oh, really?
In Florida. Oh, yeah. That's there was a great deal of that. That's where that name came from. That was a pretty obvious one.
All right.
There you are.
Well done, Steve.
Bye-bye.
Take it easy. Yeah, they were the Boston Braves, then the Boston that name for 4 years until they moved to Washington with Sammy Baugh in 1937.
The level of, you know, ability and size and power and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, leaving those places, we were very grateful for the opportunity. You know, they opened doors to us, but it was more, you know, of a perspective type of, and again, learning again the whole process of how to practice a certain way and how to prepare a certain way. It was eye-opening in a good way, so it was good for everybody because it validates a lot of what you're doing and makes you hungry. You want more.
That's a Mario Cristobal was on ESPN with Freddie and Fitzsimmons talking about the benefit of during the offseason. He and his staff went back to Alabama and visited the Crimson Tide and the Auburn Tigers. Welcome back, Crunch Time 95.3 The Score. We were talking about the origin of some NFL team names, and somebody had texted us because I was like, where'd the Bears come from? And somebody said they were originally in Decatur and known as the Staleys. And Nick learned that Staleys was a sponsor, so they kept the name their first year in Chicago. And then Papa Bear Hallis, their third year in Chicago, first year in the NFL when they graduated from, I guess it's the American Professional Football Association. So his logic is, football players are bigger than baseball players. The baseball team was the Cubs. The football team should be the Bears.
That's perfect. Like, that's,
I don't think I've ever been this happy in my life.
Like, I really like it when a team like Pittsburgh, where the Penguins, the Steelers, and the Pirates, they're all black and gold.
Right.
So you can just, you know, wear a gold P on your hat and you're representing all of the teams, the whole city at one time. That's very cool when a teams have like a solid unity like that around their colors. But to be able to be like, oh no, the baseball team are the little cubbies, and then the football team are the grown up Bears. That's incredible, too. And they're just, wow, perfect symbolism.
So you found on the Pro Reference site, the other one we really couldn't figure out kind of ties in Detroit. How'd they become Les Lions?
Yeah, so the Lions were chosen by George A. Richards, a Detroit radio executive who had purchased the Portsmouth Spartans and then moved them to Detroit in 1934. And a team spokesman said, quote, "The lion is the monarch of the jungle, and we hope to be the monarch of the league." They have been anything but.
I was just going to say, now you want to go back and dig that guy up and go, tap, tap, tap. No. Just in a word, no.
The Saints is an interesting one because it was popularized through a New Orleans States item, I guess a paper, a fan contest or whatever. But even without the fan contest, they still probably would have been called the Saints because the franchise was awarded on All Saints Day, November 1st, 1966, and New Orleans famous worldwide for their jazz and the song When the Saints Go Marching
right.
In. So it seemed like even with the fans being like, please for the love of God, call us the Saints, everything else was kind of leading that way as well. Well, yeah.
All right.
What other teams do you want to know about?
Well, we figured Dallas made sense, Philly, the Giants. Although, verify the Giants for me. I would assume it had to do with magnitude and New York City and stuff like that. And I'm pretty sure they've only been the Giants since they were born of the Maras in the 1920s.
That would be correct. Owner Tim Mara borrowed the Giants name from the city's Major League Baseball team of the same name, and it wasn't unusual among the early days of pro football franchises. And at one time or another, there were NFL franchises named the New York Yankees, Brooklyn Dodgers, Cleveland Indians, Cincinnati Reds, and Detroit Tigers.
The New York Yankees from the All-American Football Conference. What did we come up with? Would we be accurate in assuming the Panthers was kind of like the Jaguars and they were just a contest? And they're like, that would be a really cool mascot as opposed to like a possum.
Team owner Jerry Richardson's son, Mark Richardson, is responsible for the selection of the Panthers as the team name. Mark felt that there should be some synergy between the name and the team colors, also suggested that of black, blue, and silver. So I guess just an owner's son was just like, Panthers, and make them blue and black.
I would assume that the Kansas City Chiefs, there's a Native American connection there. And I believe the Hunt family, because they started out their first 3 years as the Dallas Texans in 60, 61, and 62. They were in the AFL. I guess they wanted to, well, obviously they moved from Dallas to Kansas City, so they wanted to adopt another name.
Yep, and it was a fan contest after that move as well. So it just basically, like, some of them, there is some historical precedence of just, like, the Patriots, the birthplace of the Revolution. Let's be very American and rah-rah.
And we're red, white, and blue
colors.
Yeah,
we're going to be New England, and we're not going to be Boston. We're going to separate ourselves from that. And it's just, yeah, this fits with us. Other times it's just like, hey, fans, what's a cool name?
Cool name, man. Man, cool story, bro. All right, 284-8571 to the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. We venture and bring in Brad. How you doing, Brad?
Hey, Steve. So there were Florida Panthers in the Everglades. I don't know whether there's still any of it, any living, and I actually think they're super endangered, but I think there are still some.
Wow. Panthers in America, huh?
It's kind of a misnomer. I think it's it's like a cougar descendant, but it lives down in the South. I don't know, but there is a large cat that lives in the Florida Everglades. It's definitely not jaguars, but but panther is like a name that's been adapted.
And obviously, it's also the NHL in Miami's franchise team as well, the Florida Panthers.
Yep. Huh. Yep. And then that was an interesting tidbit about the Washington NFL franchise. I knew for sure that they were from Boston, but I had no idea that it was a reference to the
Boston Tea Party, huh? That was pretty cool. That I'm telling you, put me on Sports Jeopardy right now and have the category Team Origins. We'd kick everybody's ass.
No doubt. And, you know, there have been some other bad nicknames throughout the years. I mean, what franchise was the Boston Bean Eaters? I remember hearing that. Like,
was that an
old baseball team?
Yeah, the Red Sox and the Dodgers were like, the Dodgers had some weird names as well. The Brooklyn Robins, I don't, and with two B's, so I don't think it had anything to do with the bird. So, yeah.
Well, it's just so finite. sorry.
You okay there, Brad? I think Brad might be going down for the count. By the way, Brad, just text me to know you're okay. I'm a little concerned. So the Bo Sox started out in, they were an original American League team in 1900. They were the Boston Americans. Then the Boston Red Sox. And no, we're thinking of something else. Because they've been the Bo Sox since 19 and, good God, Steve, 1908. Last time prior to 2016 that the Cubbies won the World Series. You could get, go nuts on this one. I'd be kind of curious some of the NBA teams, because there's been a lot of relocating. And I know the Knicks is short for Knickerbockers, and it has something to do with when the city was originally inhabited by the Dutch. It had something to do, I used to know this stuff inside out, with Washington Irving and a book he wrote about the history of New York. You know, New Amsterdam and the Dutch settlers, it was kind of what you would call, a pseudonym. All right, man, we have delved deep here. This is a digression for the ages, even for crunch time and sports talk. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Kurt. Kurt, good afternoon. How's it going?
Good. I've got a little digression from your digression into the NBA.
Okay.
So when Seattle was granted a franchise, Boeing was in the midst of a battle with France and Russia to make the first commercial supersonic air transport commercial.
Yeah, the SST.
Right.
Right.
And when they built the first working model, they didn't test it out of Seattle. They sent it to an Air Force base for testing. And they were going to do 20, 30 flights over this city, see what the residents thought. It was such a disaster, broken windows, the residents raised such hell that the project was canceled. Can you guess which city the Air Force base was by?
Was it Seattle?
No, Oklahoma City.
Oh, really?
So Oklahoma City ruined the chances for Boeing to make a supersonic transport, and they took the supersonics.
Wow, what the hell are the odds, man? All right. Yeah, that was like, what's his name? Phil Collins on July 13th, 1985, they called it the Concorde. And he flew from Heathrow to Philadelphia International and played on both sides of the Atlantic during Live Aid. All right, one more call before our final break of the 3 o'clock hour. Got a little confused there. Actually, I've been confused since about 8:05 this morning, so bear with me. To the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline we go, bringing Carrie. Carrie, good afternoon. How's it going?
That's what happens when you wake up too early, man.
Yep.
were the New England Patriots, were they ever called the Boston Patriots?
Yeah, that's where they
remember that.
Yeah, that's where they started.
Okay, I remember you saying something about separating from the. Okay, got that. I sent a text on this earlier, or just a little bit ago. I think cougars, pumas, and mountain lions, or whatever, are the same animal. It just like which part of the world, which part of the country do you live in?
Oh, so it's I see what you mean. So you could call
it's
something a puma,
thing.
But it's actually a cougar, huh?
Yeah, I think so. You might want to Google that. But as far as the Jaguars? I don't know if jaguars aren't they black and everything else is tan?
I guess so. I don't know if it has to do with fur color, but like I said, it didn't make sense to me that Jacksonville would be named the Jaguars, but then you actually learn that maybe it's a local inhabitant.
I bet that Carolina, that Daniel Boone and there are Florida or Panthers or whatever they're called. Yeah, sounds right to me.
All right. Thanks, Kara.
Thanks, man.
Take it easy. Oh, by the way, Brad actually texted, "I'm fine. I just inhaled a piece of fruit I was eating." So rest easy. All right. Let's take a break when we come back, since it's a Thursday. Oh, wait a minute. Somebody sent me an image. The Florida panther is a North American cougar. In South Florida, it lives in pinelands, hardwood hammocks, and mixed swamp. It's also named Puma concolor coreus. So, yeah, like what that guy was just saying, depending on where you are, it could be a cougar. It could be a panther.
This all sounds very familiar. In like fourth or fifth grade, I did a report on like the mountain lion, and I had to talk about how the cougar and the puma were all related to each other.
They're very cool looking either way. Anthony Rizzo provides all the offense. Cubbies beat the Giants 1-0. Hendricks, 7 innings pitched, 3 hit shutout ball. Kimbrell not available because he had closed the previous two games, but Brandon Kinsler, Kyle Ryan, and Rowan Wick, each with 2/3 inning of shutout ball, and the Cubbies win it 1-0. We're talking about the origins of nicknames, and we're stuck in the pros, and somebody said These origins are awesome, but please explain banana slug. That might be a story for another day. Either way, we lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline because it's a Thursday and we wrap crunch time with this.
You'll have to excuse my friend. He's a little slow.
Luckily, I have prepared for such an event. The lightning round!
It's the Thursday lightning round. You know, college football's coming round. I'm really tired. I think I might need to lie down. But let's get to the lightning round.
Hi, everybody.
I tried to work in a nap there. Did you notice that?
It sounded like I took a nap as well. it sounded like I took a nap as well. It's time for the lightning round. I took a dramatic pause is actually
a
what
pregnant
I call it.
Pause.
I'm not going to be here next Thursday for the official start of the college football season, so I'm getting my lightning round predictions out of the way this week. We learned about Rutgers quarterback Artur Sitkowski this week when he was named the 130th best quarterback in the country, according to Pro Football Focus, out of 130. Quarterbacks. Quote, Sitkowski put forth the lowest grade we've ever given to a full-time starter at any level, end quote. All right, it seemed harsh. I looked up his numbers to see if they weren't that far off. Of the 85 quarterbacks that attempted at least 270 passes last year, Sitkowski was dead last in yards, touchdowns, he only had four, completion percentage, QB rating of 76.4, and this is the QB rating that maxes out at like 135, not the one out of 100. The next closest was 100 even, but he was tied for last with 18 interceptions, so he can only go up. But this is Rutgers, and they have five games against teams that are already in the preseason top 25, including three straight to end the season. Yikes, Rutgers. Artur Sitkowski will have a QB rating over under 100 this season.
Whoa.
Which is a very low bar to
right,
clear.
Right, right, right. Why think he's going to get that much better? It's Rutgers. I'm going under.
Fair enough. Speaking of the Big Ten, it is there for the taking. Michigan has the inside track to finally win the conference for the first time under Jim Harbaugh, who has done nothing but overpromise and underdeliver for the last 4 years. The Ohio State University has a new coach, a new quarterback, but plenty of talent all over the roster, especially if Urban Meyer left whatever voodoo hex he had in Columbus for Ryan Day, then the Buckeyes are definitely still going to be beating Michigan and can take the Big Ten and be a playoff contender. There's upstarts in Nebraska with Scott Frost in his second year. Iowa and Iowa State might surprise, maybe even Wisconsin, who could show up. Who knows? It's why I'm asking you, who wins the Big Ten, Michigan, the Ohio State University, or the field?
You know, normally, because I really don't like Ohio State, I would kind of be rooting for Michigan. But just when I started to like Harbaugh again, he pulls this holier-than-thou, they cheat, wear pure, screw you, I'm going with Ohio State.
That's gross. Hey,
I know it is.
Look at me working the good flow of the lightning round. Speaking of Nebraska, they've got their man in Scott Frost leading the way for his second season with the Cornhuskers. Frost was able to take UCF from 0 wins to national champions in 3 seasons. And last year, with a recruiting class left behind by Mike Riley, they went 4-8, and ignore that, not good enough for a bad bowl game record. They started 0-6, but then finished strong, going 4-2, including the most Big Ten final score ever, Nebraska 9, Michigan State 6. This year, the Huskers bring back their old Big 8 rivalry with Colorado, and all three of their preseason top 25 opponents come to Lincoln. Are big things coming for Frost? Nebraska will have over under 7.5 wins.
You know, I was actually looking at them, and Phil Steele has them his most improved team in the country. They've got Adrian Martinez now as a sophomore. They get Ohio State early at home. I'm gonna go over. I'm on the Scott Frost bandwagon.
I've officially lost my flow, so we transition out here to the Best Coast. The Pac-12 had a bad year last year nationally. Plenty of first-year head coaches struggled. No one was able to take over the conference, and they missed the playoffs again, and that was just on the field. Let's not forget about the countless off-field issues with replay review as well. 2019 bring forth a year of promise with 5 coaches moving into their second season at their new school as head coach. We've talked plenty about Chip Kelly at UCLA. Herm Edwards is still involved at ASU, and Kevin Sumlin is hoping to unleash Khalil Tate, as well as Mario Cristobal with the Ducks. Which second-year Pac-12 coach ends the year with most wins? Chip Kelly, Herm Edwards, Kevin Sumlin, Jonathan Smith, or Mario Cristobal?
Whoa.
It's a lot of second-year coaches
I've got it down to Cristobal and Edwards. And like I said, sometimes I go for analytics. Sometimes I go with my heart. I'm not betting any money here. Let's ride it. Let's go with the Ducks and Coach Cristobal.
Fair enough. Because of the undeniably flawed nature of a 14 playoff and 5 big conferences, someone is going to be missing out on a party come January. The SEC and ACC seem like a lock unless Alabama and Clemson fall off of a cliff. And even in the SEC's case, whoever beats Bama will end up in the playoff anyways. So going into year 6 of the playoff system, the SEC is yet to be excluded from that party. That means the Big 10 with their, or the Big 12 with their 10 teams, the Big 12 with their 14 teams, and the Pac 12 with their properly named and ability to count 12 teams. Someone's gonna be mad. All of these conferences have missed out in the past in the hopes that it's this year they'll finally be able to get in. So rather than 5 fighting for 4 spots, it's really 3 fighting for 2. Which Power 5 conference will be left out of the playoff? The Pac 12, the Big 12, the Big Ten, and because I have to, the ACC and the SEC.
I buy exactly what you said. You could almost lock the SEC winner in. I can't imagine Clemson being challenged by anybody in that league. I think the problem with Oklahoma is while they have, I think the offense will be good. I don't think it'll be as good, but man alive, that they have a lot of holes to fill on defense, which means they could be vulnerable during the regular season. I don't buy the whole Texas is back thing. I don't see another legit team among the other 8. So looking for whether it's a Red River shootout or a knockoff in the conference title game, I think the Big 12 may be in the most danger of missing out this year.
Last one, it's a simple one. We know how good the quarterbacks are in the best teams in the country, and when the best player on the best team is a quarterback, that dude is automatically a Heisman contender. Who wins the Heisman? Trevor Lawrence,
Whoa.
Tua Tagovailoa, or the field?
Lawrence and those guys... We talked with Schroeder yesterday about that they got decimated on defense. They lost all 4 defensive linemen, 4 draft picks, 3 first rounders, and a 4th round pick. They lost Trayvon Mullen, a stud corner. They lost a linebacker. They lost 7 on defense, and the offense is all back. They're going to have to score 70 points, which means that Trevor Lawrence is your 2019
wow.
Heisman Trophy winner. Going and not, by the way, taking the field in the Heisman, you think is a no-brainer, therefore proving I have no brains. The 4 o'clock hour is next. It's Sports Talk 95.3 The Score.
If you surround yourself with turds, you're headed towards Turdville.